Net Live. That's one of the main themes from. I'm going to say, do we have a year on that? On that theme?
It's 85 to 95.
Yeah,
is that one?
Sounds like it. That like the Sandler era.
Yeah,
that time. Yeah.
All right.
Well, the reason we're playing the Saturday Night Live theme is because we're going to talk about Weekend Update's anchors and some of the Weekend Update characters and bits that we've loved over the years or hated. And if you want to jump in, you know one of my favorite subjects is Saturday Night Live. It's a show that I've been watching since the very first episode in 1975. And I DVR it every week, and I grade it live on Facebook as I watch it every week. Obviously, you know, they're in summer reruns right now, but it'll be back in September. And they always make a few cast changes, and maybe pick up a couple of people during the off time, and we'll see what changes when it comes back. But we're going to specifically talk about Weekend Update and the best anchors, the worst anchors, and Weekend Update bits that you liked, and some of the characters that would come out. And if you want to join us, it's 312-981-7200. For talk and text, if you want to text us, we'll read the texts on air. If you would like to join us, it's 312-981-7200. All right, it's Nick DiGilio. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and we'll be here until 5 o'clock. So SNL Weekend Update anchors, that's what we're talking about, and bits. Now I can go through the history here of in chronological order, because when Lorne Michaels left the show in 81, when he left the show, they changed it. Well, he left the show in 80, and then he came back in 85. So he was gone from the show for about 4.5 years. And during that time, they fiddled with Weekend Update, like Dick Ebersol did. He changed it to what was called SNL Newsbreak. And then for about 3 years, it was Saturday Night News. So the title of Weekend Update was gone between 81 and 85. And then 85, it came back as Weekend Update because Lorne Michaels came back. He was gone and he came back. So, but if you go back and look at the anchors that from the beginning, I can go in order on that one, and I will. Now, Dan, you and I were talking off the air about our favorite anchor, and it was easy to choose.
Yeah, we're in agreement.
And Esmeralda, I believe you would agree with Dan and I on who our favorite anchor of all time was, and it's Norm Macdonald.
Oh yeah,
I mean, he was the best ever.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I asked Dan, and he immediately goes Norm Macdonald, and I, you know, and for me it's Norm Macdonald, and I know Esmeralda it's Norm Macdonald. He was the best, and so funny, and the fact that he got fired from the position because he refused to stop doing O.J. Simpson jokes, because one of the higher-ups at NBC was a golfing buddy of O.J.'s, was a friend of his, and hated the fact that Norm Macdonald, even after the verdict, even after, like, a couple of years later, he's still doing O.J. jokes, and they finally, it's like, okay, Norm, that's it, you know? So they canned him from that position. But that's one of the things I love about Norm Macdonald. I mean, you know, he's one of the funniest guys on the planet, and his delivery was so funny. And like when something bombed, it was great when something bombed, and he was always like, he was at odds with the audience a lot. And just his delivery of it was so great. I love the fact that he goes, "I'm Norm Macdonald, and here's the fake news." Like, that's how he started each Weekend Update. So that was an easy one for me. What about you guys? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So, and by the way, Dan, we need to switch the phone lines need to be switched because, yeah. So anyway, something's going on with the phone lines, but we're going to switch them. There we go. All right. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. The phone lines are open. Text lines are open. We're talking about Weekend Update bits, Weekend Update characters, and Weekend Update anchors. So let me just go in chronological order, and then we can sort of rank them and talk about our favorite moments, perhaps. Obviously, the very first Weekend Update anchor was Chevy Chase. And he only did it for 1 year because he left to pursue a movie career, and he left after the first season. And it was, the original anchor was Chevy Chase, and obviously his catchphrase is, "I'm Chevy Chase and you're not." His name took off. And one of the reasons why, I mean, it was like Belushi and Aykroyd and a lot of the other guys who were in the cast were like they were pissed because Chevy Chase was getting all the recognition. He was on the cover of, like, what, you know, when they were like the cover of Time magazine was Chevy Chase, you know, representing Saturday Night Live, and guys like Belushi and Aykroyd and some of the other people in the original cast were like, this is not fair. And Lorne Michaels in interviews had said the reason why Chevy Chase took off the way he did was because he was the only person in the cast who said his name every week. And it was just like, oh, that's Chevy Chase. Oh, that's Chevy Chase. And, you know, and he was funny on the show because he always did the opening. He always he did a pratfall, and he would always do the pratfall and Live from New York at Saturday Night. He did that. He had update. He got to say his name every week. So that's why he took off. And if anybody's ever read any, have you ever read Live from New York, Dan?
Yeah.
It's such a great book. It's on my coffee table. It's always on my table as we speak.
I read the original edition, like when it first came out, and then as soon as the updated one came out, I bought it.
Yeah, it is such a great book. And by all accounts, anything, and I've read a bunch of books about Saturday Night Live from different perspectives, and you know, some authorized, some unauthorized. I mean, obviously the best. The quintessential book about Saturday Night Live is Live from New York. It's just Tom Shales I've had on the show to talk about it, and it's just such a great book. But by all accounts, Chevy Chase was a monstrous a-hole. And when he came back to host, he was like a real prima donna, because he came back to host, and Bill Murray had replaced Chevy Chase. When Chevy Chase left, they brought in Bill Murray. And so when he came to host for the first time, at the end, if you ever see the footage, they got the Chevy Chase and Bill Murray pretty much got into a fist fight backstage, and then if you ever see the rerun of the first time Chevy Chase came back to host, at the end, you know, during the goodbyes, when the cast and everybody, they're all out on stage, the musical guests, the cast, everybody's out on stage saying the goodbyes, which is always something you should watch. Always watch the Molly Shannon once told me, always watch the goodbyes, because there's a lot of truth in what's happening on that stage. You can see what's happening. There's a lot of like unsaid stuff going on. And when I actually met Molly Shannon, I was just beside myself. And I interviewed her, and she's like, you always have to watch the goodbyes. And I do. And I like analyze them. And I wonder how mad that person was, or why this person's sketch didn't get put on, and blah, blah, blah. But if you watch the goodbyes on that episode where Chevy Chase came back, they're holding Bill Murray back. Like he wants to beat the crap out of Chevy Chase. You can see it. And they're like holding Bill Murray back, and they're like pushing him away. They're like, take it easy, Bill, calm down. And because you could see he's furious, because they had just gotten into a fight a few minutes earlier backstage. So they're like holding Bill Murray back. And the great detail about that is that it was all Belushi's fault. Because Belushi went up to Bill Murray and said, he's talking crap about you, man, because he wanted to stir up some trouble. So Belushi started talking and telling Bill Murray, you know, that Chevy Chase was talking crap about him, blah, 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 because he just wanted to see the two of them fight, because that's the way Belushi was. So it was his idea. So it was his fault. And at the end, when you're watching, it's Belushi who's holding them back. It's hysterically funny. But anyway, Chevy Chase, by all accounts, was a jerk, but he was great on Weekend Update and established the tone. And he and Herb Sergeant, you know, were the head writers. They put it together, and you know, obviously, you had, you know, some classic bits. The people who are hard of hearing, I will repeat tonight's top story, which is fantastic. Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead. All of those great. The phone calls where he'd be interrupted, like talking to his girlfriend or something on the phone, like at the beginning. All of that stuff was classic, and he delivered it great. He was the very first one. Chevy Chase was the very first one. So I'm going to go through the rest of the hosts of Weekend Update and Newsbreak and Saturday Night News, as they were called in the mid-80s. And then I want to hear from you guys. Text or talk, 312-981-7200. Who were your favorite anchors, Weekend Update? What are some of your favorite Weekend Update characters that come out to the desk, and some of your favorite bits? 312-981-7200 for talk and text.
And finally, in honor of the 50th anniversary of their first publication, Random House will be releasing special commemorative issues of many Dr. Seuss classics. The first to hit the bookshelves will be Green Eggs and Ham and OJ is Guilty.
That's what I'm talking about, man. He was just relentless on the OJ jokes. Oh, man, that's funny. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. If you would like to join us, the phone lines are open. The text lines are open. We'll read some texts, take some phone calls here. We're talking about Saturday Night Live, Weekend Update in particular. I'm going to go down chronological order of all of the people who have anchored Weekend Update. And during that short time in the 80s when it was called Newsbreak and Saturday Night News. Then I'm going to we'll rank these anchors and see who was great and who wasn't. And that was Norm Macdonald that you just heard, who all of us here on the show maintain was the best Weekend Update anchor of all time. So anyway, 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And it's Nick DiGilio here on a Thursday morning. No Triple Play Thursday this morning. Dan Long is filling in for Dan Shugrue. Dan Shugrue will be off again tomorrow morning, Friday morning. And Dan Long will be here. He'll be DJ Longfellow tomorrow for Fly Jams Friday.
The return.
The return of DJ Longfellow. That's right. And all of our regular Friday features will happen tomorrow, too. And by the way, we're going to speak with the lovely Amy Guth tomorrow about the Midwest Film Festival. We're going to talk to her about that. She's awesome. I miss following Amy Guth or her following me on Saturdays.
Yeah, we used to
have some fun cross talk.
Oh yeah, and I used to see her all the time on Saturdays. Yeah. You know, when we had, you know, she'd be in between the Beat and Nocturnal Journal,
right.
And then, you know, baseball happens. I haven't seen Amy Guth in like 3 months, probably.
It's been longer than that for me. But it's always good to see Amy. Amy, the lovely Amy Guth, will be here, and I'm excited to talk to her about her involvement with this Midwest Film Festival. It's pretty cool, and other stuff. Lots of stuff to talk with Amy about. We'll catch up, and that'll happen on the Friday show. Okay, so Chevy Chase was your first anchor, and then Jane Curtin took over, and she did it solo for a little while. Chevy Chase had an injury, and he was out for a little while, and then he came back, and he quit halfway through the 76th season. So Jane Curtin took over. She finished the 76 season by herself, and she was great. Jane Curtin was fantastic on Weekend Update. And then they teamed her with Dan Aykroyd for a year. And that's when, and she and Dan Aykroyd were the anchors at that time. And that's when the whole Jane, you ignorant slut thing started, because they would do point counterpoint. And of course, you know, the relationship that she would have, especially with Gilda Radner's characters, like Jane Curtin's relationship with, like, Rosanna Dana, Emily Letella was the woman who was hard. Emily Letella. She was hard of hearing, and always, you know, like, she would do like these editorials, and afterwards, like when it was over, she would go bitch. Like when Jane Curtin was really mean to her. So, and then she was teamed up. So Dan Aykroyd, and then she was teamed up with Bill Murray, and they did it together for 2 years, from 78 to 80. And Jane Curtin and Bill Murray, and they were terrific as well. Bill Murray was really funny on that. That was one where Bill Murray, when Bill Murray was the co-anchor. That's when they had an interview with Elizabeth Taylor. I don't know. You guys probably don't remember this because this was before you guys were even born. But they did an interview with Elizabeth Taylor, and Belushi played Elizabeth Taylor, and she's like, and he's like, because this was when Elizabeth Taylor was, her weight was fluctuating, so they had Belushi in drag as Elizabeth Taylor. And during the interview, when Bill Murray's interviewing Belushi as Elizabeth Taylor, he's chowing down on some chicken. And then he starts choking. He does his own Heimlich and then spits out a bunch of chicken on his thing. So, and then 1980 happened. And that's when Lauren left. Lauren left in 1980. All of the original cast members were gone. And they brought in a whole new slew. Gene Demanian became the producer. And brought in a whole new cast and crew, and most of them were bad. And in 1980 to 81, Charles Rocket, the infamous Charles Rocket, was the host, and he was later teamed with Gail Mathias. You remember those names? Classic SNL members, Gail Mathias and Charles Rocket. It was a dark time, man, but that was the time, you know, when they brought in Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy was the saving grace of that time period. And actually, Joe Piscopo. Piscopo was really funny. He's not funny now, but he was really funny on SNL, especially when he was teamed with Eddie Murphy. And Eddie Murphy was only a featured player, and he was like 18 when they hired him. He was just a kid, and he stole everything he was in. Now, granted, it wasn't hard to steal from the rest of the cast because they weren't very good. And that was Gilbert Gottfried was in that cast. A lot of people don't remember that. Gilbert Gottfried was in the cast of that they say ruined SNL, and almost, you know, they almost thought it was gonna be the end of the show. So Charles Rocket was the guy who hosted it, who was on the anchor, who anchored it, and so they had a bunch of other people come in during the final episode, and then in 81 and 82 they changed it to SNL Newsbreak. For some reason, they changed the name to Newsbreak, and I'll tell you who the anchors were there. But I want to hear from you guys. How would you rank the anchors? And 312-981-7200 for talk and text. What are your favorite weekend update bits as well?
Dan, there's an old saying. Behind every successful man, there's a woman. A loving, giving, caring woman. But you wouldn't know about that, Dan, because there's no old saying about what's behind a miserable failure.
Jane, you ignorant slut. Bagged up, dried up, slunk meat like you and Michelle Triola know the rules.
Oh, man. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're talking about one of my favorite topics of all time, Saturday Night Live. I happen to like the show a little bit. And I've watched it during the peaks and valleys, and there have been peaks and valleys in that show. We're talking specifically about Weekend Update, and talking about the Weekend Update anchors. Who were your favorite? Who were your favorite Weekend Update characters that would come out and show up at the desk? And your favorite Weekend Update moments? 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open too. We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Now you have to remember that. A line like "Jane, you ignorant slut" back in 1977, you know, that was, you don't hear that. You didn't hear that kind of stuff a lot on. Now you hear it all over the place. There's people running around nude on TV, and F bombs are dropping all over cable television now. Even basic cable is showing stuff that you would never even think of. But you know, "Jane, you ignorant slut" was like, ooh, it was naughty. Like a lot of that stuff, Emily Latella saying "bitch," that was naughty. That was really naughty back then. But yeah, great stuff. And Jane Curtin, you know, Jane Curtin, I think, is one of the most underappreciated cast members in SNL history. You know, I mean, that first cast, the women were really, really strong. Obviously, everybody, you know, talks about how great Gilda was, and she was amazing. But Lorraine Newman was really, really funny, and Jane Curtin was really, really funny, too. And Jane Curtin really, I thought... I think she's underrated in the history of cast members. She's just great. And of course she went on to do great stuff. I mean, Third Rock from the Sun, for God's sake. I mean, come on. Esmeralda, she got to work with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, I know. What a treat.
All right, so we're back to, so Charles Rocket hosted the last edition of Weekend Update before it changed when Lorne Michaels left. So Dick Ebersol took over and he changed Weekend Update to SNL Newsbreak. And it was Brian Doyle Murray, Bill Murray's older brother, who you know is the father of Bubble Boy. He's also in Caddyshack. You guys want to be replaced by golf carts?
He wrote Caddyshack.
He co-wrote Caddyshack with Harold Ramis and Doug Kenny. And just a legendary dude. And by the way, you guys, did I tell you I went to the Caddyshack restaurant when I was at Flashback? Because it's in the hotel with where Flashback was.
Oh yeah, it's up in Rosemont.
Yeah,
right?
It's at the Crown Plaza. It's really cool. It's a little too pricey. I think it's overpriced, but it's in a hotel. You know what I mean? So you're gonna pay more because you're in a hotel.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where everybody was. Like it was ridiculous because it's a Caddyshack themed. Well, it's more like a Bill Murray Brothers theme because there's a bunch of Caddyshack stuff in there, but a lot of Bill Murray, you know, like memorabilia from other movies and stuff. And they have, you know, the menu is like all Caddyshack or Bill Murray themed dishes. But they had a special thing that weekend for Flashback, so they had a special horror menu. So they had dishes named after like Silence of the Lambs and The Exorcist and all these other, and it was very, very cool. And it was crazy because, like, I think some people who didn't realize that there was a horror convention, who were just visiting, were like, "What? Who the hell are these people?" Because there were cosplay people there and weirdos in black T-shirts and all, you know, all of us horror brethren were there and dominating Caddyshack place. People, I think people who walked in off the streets were like, This is what. Why are all these weird horror people here? This is a Caddyshack bar.
What are the Murray brothers into?
Yeah. But it's a cool place. I would recommend it. If you're a fan of the Murray brothers and you're a fan of Caddyshack, you should check it out. Just bring an extra couple of bucks. So anyway, Newsbreak was hosted by Brian Dolan Murray and Mary Gross, who I always really liked. Mary Gross. She was one of the standouts in that bad period of time. She would play alfalfa to Eddie Murphy's buckwheat. She would do the alfalfa to Eddie Murphy's buckwheat. So they did it for a while, and then Christine Ebersole teamed up with Brian Dolan Murray for a little while as well. Then it changed the next season. For the next two seasons, it was called Saturday Night News. That's when Brad Hall took over. Brad Hall was with Saturday Night Live, and that's where he met Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And they are now have been married for so many years. But he hosted for a while. And then they did kind of a round-robin thing where they had different cast members come in and host Saturday Night News. It was a real... not the strongest period of time for Saturday Night Live, and again that was the time when it was just the Eddie Murphy show. It just got to the point where it was just put Piscopo and Eddie Murphy in every sketch. And then Christopher Guest. A lot of people forget that Christopher Guest was a cast member on SNL for the one season, 1985. He was a cast member for that one season when they brought in it with Billy Crystal. Was on that season, and it was, if I don't remember correctly, but it was Joan Cusack. Was Joan Cusack on that season, too? It was like Joan Cusack, Anthony Michael Hall. Remember Anthony Michael Hall and Robert Downey Jr. were both cast members on Saturday Night Live. People don't remember that, but it's true. They tried to go the movie star route and bring in people who are already kind of established in movies.
Harry Shearer was there, too, wasn't he?
Shearer was an MVP. Harry Shearer was an MVP because he stayed through the rough time. Because Harry Shearer was there in the good days, like in the strong days. And when cast members started to leave, Belushi, Aykroyd, when they started to leave, that's when he stepped up. When Harry Shearer really stepped up, and Martin Short, that was the season of Martin Short, because they did the synchronized swimming thing. That fantastic synchronized swimming bit, which was just one of the funniest things ever. I'm not a strong swimmer, Martin Short. So that was the Christopher Guest, and then Lorne Michaels came back, and it was once again called Weekend Update. And now we can just go through the list. Dennis Miller was the first back in 1985. He did it from 85 to 91, and he was terrific. Dennis Miller was terrific as the anchor on Weekend Update. Kevin Nealon came in next, and he was good. I thought he was good. He wasn't great. But Kevin Nealon, what you remember most about Kevin Nealon were like the Sandler bits, because Sandler would come on as Opera Man. He would come on with the guitar and do a goofy song, you know. Those were the kind of bits that would really stand out, because Kevin Nealon was fine. He delivered the punchlines okay, and he was fine. And then 94 to 97 was who we mentioned before, Norm Macdonald, who was just, as far as I'm concerned, the best. And he did the running gags about the O.J. Simpson stuff, and then he did the fantastic running gags about Frank Stallone. Remember when it was like the punchline to a bunch of jokes would be if he would show a picture of Frank Stallone and do a Frank Stallone joke? So the OJ thing is what cost him that gig. And then, as far as I'm concerned, the next person who anchored Weekend Update, one, had the very difficult task of following Norm Macdonald. Okay, now I would not want to, I would not want to follow Norm Macdonald as the anchor of Weekend Update, because he was the best ever. And not only did he have to follow Norm Macdonald, but he was terrible. And in my opinion, the worst anchor in the history of Weekend Update. Colin Quinn. I thought Colin Quinn was horrible. I thought Colin Quinn was terrible. Esmeralda, did you enjoy Colin Quinn?
I loved him when he did it. I was like, well, if Norm can't.
Really? My thing about Colin Quinn, though, was he seemed to stumble over everything.
I will defend CQ to the death as a comedian.
Yes.
But giving him the role where he has to read off cue cards and deliver jokes directly into the camera and have clean deliveries was not strong for him.
No. Let me clarify this. I think Colin Quinn is hilarious, and I love Colin Quinn. I've loved him back since he was on Remote Control. But he was not the guy to put into that position. And he stumbled over jokes, and he tried to make it, he tried to make it look like he screwed up. I don't know. And then, like, they would do, like, a he would do, like, an opinion bit at the beginning of Weekend Update before he actually got behind the desk.
Right.
Like, he would do, like, some sort of, like, this is my, he would do, like, a rant of some kind. And then he would go.
What he would eventually do much better on Tough Crowd.
Yeah, and Tough Crowd was a great show. Yeah. Yeah, no, no. I'm listen, and again, everything outside of Weekend Update that Colin Quinn has done has been great. I just think he was not suited for Weekend Update.
But he did. You mentioned the monologues. He did the on the first Weekend Update that he did that monologue where he's like, you know, you go into your favorite bar and you know, you find your bar, you meet your bartender Joe, and you share all your stuff with Joe, and Joe is your favorite bartender, and then all of a sudden you go into the bar and Frank is there instead. Well, I'm Frank.
That's right. I totally forgot that he did that. That's right.
And then when Will Ferrell did he did Harry Caray, and he called him Norm.
Yeah,
he's like, hey Norm,
hey Norm. That was also because he
got fat.
He got to do some good bits with Will Ferrell. When you remember when Will Ferrell would come on and do the frat boy, Kahlo.
Oh yeah,
hang him up, Kahlo. And it was always hilarious. It was always great. And then so after Colin Quinn left, we were talking 2000, and then we got Jimmy Fallon and Tina Fey, and they were great. I thought they were great, and I thought they balanced each other out because Jimmy Fallon, you know, kind of douchey, laughs a little too much, but the balance between him and Tina Fey, they had something. They had a real chemistry, and it, you know, the really funny smartness of Tina Fey and the kind of cute giggliness of Jimmy Fallon, somehow that worked. That it worked together, and they did it for 4 years together. And they were, I thought they were terrific. And that was when Tina Fey, you know, and the writing was strong too, because Tina Fey was head writer then. First female head writer in SNL history. And she kicked some ass. And a lot of the bits that they did, on there were fantastic. Then Fallon leaves. And for, two seasons, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were together, and they were even better. They were, well, I mean, obviously, we all know how great Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are together, and separately. But that was fantastic. I don't know if you guys remember the time when Jimmy Fallon, surprisingly, he came back. There was somebody at the Weekend Update door. You know how they have the doorbell ring? There's somebody at the Weekend Update at the update door. Jimmy Fallon comes in, and Tina Fey is like, "Thanks for coming. I really appreciate it. You know, you're late." And he's like, "I'm sorry. It was a lot of traffic. I'm really, really sorry." She's like, "Okay, I'll go get our son." And so Tina Fey walks off, and so Amy Poehler is sitting there, and so there's this uncomfortable stuff because, you know, Amy Poehler took over for Jimmy Fallon, and so they do a bit like, this is the new father and the old father is, and so and he's like, "So how's it going?" Amy Poehler's like, "I'm fine, man. Everything's great." You know, so they do this bit where there's this underlying tension between new dad, old dad, and then they bring the kid out, and the kid's got Tina Fey glasses on. He's got Jimmy Fallon's hair and Tina Fey glasses on. He's like, "Make sure you bring him back on time." You know, and Jimmy's like, "Okay." And then he takes the kid by the hand. He goes, "Let's go, Lorne." And that was when he made the one surprise visit that they did. So anyway, Amy Poehler. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are fantastic. And then there was a short bit of time. Tina Fey was out pregnant with her first child, and she was having her baby, so she took some maternity time off. Do you remember who sat in?
Was it Horatio?
It was Horatio Sanz. So it was Amy Poehler and Horatio Sanz. Horatio was not good. But it was funny because he wore Tina Fey glasses. Like, he came out and he wore the Tina Fey glasses. And he's not suited for that. You know, Horatio Sanz is not. He's suited to, you know what his job was to break Jimmy Fallon. That was basically Horatio Sanz's entire existence on that show. And again, there's another really funny guy who did some funny stuff on SNL, but really, I didn't think he was, I thought he was funny, but not hilarious until he left SNL. Then everything he did outside of that was really funny. All right, so then that was a short period of time. And then Amy Poehler was teamed up with Seth Meyers, and they were great. They were great. The really with Seth and Amy, one of my favorite bits. They were tremendous together, and they did it for 2 years. And then Seth Meyers solo, what can you say about Seth Meyers? That was his groove right there. I mean, he found it. Because he was, as just a cast member, he struggled a little bit. You know, he had a couple of, you know, impersonations here and there, and he would show up and do some funny characters. But he didn't find his voice till he sat behind that desk. And he's still doing it now. Like, his show later. What the hell is it called? Late Night?
Late Night, yeah.
No, Late Night is that's Colbert. No, that's The Late Show.
Yeah.
Late Night. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting them all screwed up. Yeah, Late Night is with Seth Meyers. And he's, you know, he never leaves the desk. He started out doing his monologue standing up traditionally. On his late night show, and then decided, you know what, I'm just going to sit behind the desk because that's what I do best. And he kills on that show. So Seth Meyers was great until he left in 2013. And then it was Seth Meyers. And then I don't know if you guys remember this, but for a season, Cecily Strong co-anchored with him. So it was Seth Meyers and Cecily Strong. And Cecily Strong did a nice job, but the problem is it kind of took her away from other things on the show.
Yeah, her strength was the sketches.
Oh yeah, and not only that, the characters that she does on Weekend Update, like when she comes in and does the characters, you know, like the white trash woman who's smoking, and some of the other characters that she does in Weekend Update, she couldn't do that because she was anchoring. So it took some of those really memorable characters away. That was an experiment; didn't work. And then it was Cecily Strong and Colin Jost because Seth Meyers left because he got the gig. So then it was Colin Jost and Cecily Strong. Not a lot of people, nobody knew who Colin Jost was, even though he was a writer on the show for a long time. And that lasted for a little while. And then it was Colin Jost and Michael Che. And that's who anchors now. I had to warm up to these guys. You know, first couple of seasons, I was like, eh. You know, but now they've got a chemistry going and the writing's gotten better. There was a period of time when Jost, they're both now co-head writers. Che and Jost are now the head writers on SNL. I don't know if that's going to change this season. I don't know if they're going to replace anybody or move somebody up a notch. But it was, I thought the material was weak, and I thought their deliveries, they didn't have any chemistry. Jost just seemed like an even whiter version of Seth Meyers. And Che was he was also just, you know, he's a stand-up guy. And he didn't seem, he seemed kind of uncomfortable in that position as well. But they've got a thing going now, and the writing has improved a lot. And what's going on, actually, you know, what's going on in the real
world.
That
always helps, yeah.
What's happening in the real world is happening, you know, any kind of news, satire kind of thing. You know, the material writes itself at this point. But it's strong material, and they're good together. So, but I would have to say that, without question, that Norm Macdonald is my favorite. And I have Entertainment Weekly ranked theirs, and I want to go through that as well. And then I want to talk about some of the bits that we did on that they did on Weekend Update that were classic as well. But we want to take a quick break here, and we'll come back. Phone lines are open. We'll read some texts, get some texts in here at 312-981-7200 for SNL's Weekend Update. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And it's Thursday morning. No Triple Play Thursday. Dan Shugru is out this morning, and he will be out until Monday. He's off tomorrow as well. And our good friend Dan Long is filling in because legally only a person named Dan can produce this show. I don't know if that's been written into the bylaws. So, anyway, we've been talking about Weekend Update and ranking the anchors and talking about the history of Weekend Update. And what about some of the bits that you loved on Weekend Update and some of the characters that show up on Weekend Update? We'd love to hear from you on that. 312-981-7200. Got some texts here if you want to jump in. It's 312-981-7200. See, 7734 area code says, best Weekend Update anchor, Dennis Miller. Worst, Charles Rocket. Yeah, Charles Rocket was bad. Charles Rocket was really bad. And Charles Rocket, by the way, one of the other people on the in the history of SNL dropped the F-bomb live on the air. And I believe that's what got him canned, if I'm not mistaken. You guys remember Charles Rocket? Esmeralda, have you seen Dumb and Dumber?
I had to look him up. And I'm like, oh.
That guy. Mm-hmm. He's in Dumb and Dumber. That's the one. The only other thing outside of SNL that anybody remembers him from was Dumb and Dumber. And the fact that he said the F-bomb. And it was funny because, like, I guess what happened was, this is what I heard, and this was during the goodbyes at the end. This was back during that really low period where Denny Dillon was in the Denny Dillon was in the cast. You had Gail Mathias, Gilbert Gottfried, who obviously Gilbert Gottfried is, you know, a genius and went on to great stuff, but was not suited for that. But he's out. What they did was they did a very topical, Esmeralda. They did a who shot JR bit, because that was a big. This was before you were born, Esmeralda, but you've heard about Who Shot JR?
Yeah,
from Dallas, and it was like it was everywhere. Everywhere. And they did a Simpsons joke, right? Didn't he have like a Who Shot JR t-shirt or something? Didn't Homer have like a Who Shot JR hat or something like that? They made reference to it as being, you know, like how old this shirt was because it had JR, it had a JR reference on it. But anyway, he was playing JR, Charles Rocket. And I guess like during the sketch, he actually did get hit in the head or something, is what he claims. And they're like, how you feeling, JR? And this is at the very end, and he's, you know, in a wheelchair, and he's sitting in the wheelchair, and he goes, I just want to know who in the F did it. And you could see, like, everybody on stage go, oh, Eddie Murphy cracks up. Eddie Murphy, like, loses it. Like, he laughs the hardest of everybody on stage. So, but, yeah, Charles Rocket was considered one of the worst of the Weekend Update anchors. We got some other texts coming in. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and for your texts as well. We're talking about Weekend Update and some of your favorite. What about some of your favorite recurring characters or bits that they did on Weekend Update? We'll do that coming up out of the news, which is next. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. What's going on? It's Thursday. We're not doing Triple Play Thursday. Dan Shugrue is out this morning. He's also out tomorrow morning. And we have Dan Long filling in for us. He's kind enough to fill in for Dan. And it is Thursday. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here in downtown Chicago, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Here till 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6. And I will be joining Steve Cochran for my weekly Thursday morning visit at 6:20. I always love to hang out with the Cochran gang on Thursday morning. So stay tuned for that. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. A little bit later on, we're going to play a little game of Music IQ. Dan Long has not played this game, but it's the three of us. It'll be Dan, it'll be Esmeralda, it'll be myself, quizzing each other on music questions. For three rounds, or two rounds, actually, two long rounds. And then whoever has the most at the end wins, who has the most points. So that's coming up. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about some of these defunct restaurant chains that aren't around anymore and reminisce a little bit about that. But right now we're talking about Saturday Night Live, Weekend Update in particular. We talked about, I was telling you all about the history of who anchored Weekend Update and also when it changed its name. For a few years, and then went through the anchors and what we all thought of them. And Dan and Esmeralda and I all agree that Norm MacDonald is our favorite. So we're talking about Weekend Update anchors, and if you want to jump in, and then also Weekend Update bits or characters who show up on Weekend Update. What are some of your favorite bits and characters? 312-981-7200. 563 area code says, the Hollywood Minute with David Spade was great. That's Kevin from Iowa. Yeah, the Hollywood Minute was pretty funny. You remember he told that joke about Eddie Murphy, and that's one of the reasons why Eddie Murphy boycotted, and everybody was surprised that he showed up at the 40th anniversary.
Yeah.
Because he said, oh, look, kids, a falling star. And it was a picture of Eddie Murphy. And he's like, oh, what? You got to make an omelet. You got to break some eggs. David Spade was funny doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he did a great Michael J. Fox. But David Spade is like that, you know, the great, you know, he's got that one sort of note.
Yeah, you know what you're getting.
Yeah, you got a snarky little dude.
Bye-bye.
That's exactly. And again, I mean, well, you know, he and Farley. I mean, what can you say about that? I mean, Tommy Boy. If there was a 24-hour Tommy Boy channel, I'd watch it. I have to say, I've seen Tommy Boy 9 million times, and I laugh my ass off every time. Maybe she's one of the Yankees. Maybe she's dating one of the Yankees.
Does this suit make me look fat? No, your face does.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years. Yeah, they're called doctors. Oh, man. Is there something on my face? Because it hurts right here. Not so much here or here, but here. That was a good idea of me to do a visual joke on the radio. That made a lot of sense. All right. Alan in North Carolina says, best weekend update anchor, Dennis Miller, worst, Norm MacDonald. What, are you crazy? Are you crazy? 540 area code says, I love Tina and Amy and Dennis Miller. 262 area code says, Joe Piscopo's sports report with one-word sentences and Dennis Miller. Yeah, the Joe Piscopo, those Joe Piscopo sports, that was funny. That was really, really funny. And there have been a lot of, you know, recurring characters and people who show up on Weekend Update that are classic. My current favorite from the current cast, and let me just say this. This girl was her first season, last season, it was her first season. I have not seen somebody step out of the pack like this since Kate McKinnon, like it, and Kristen Wiig, like that kind of Heidi Gardner. Heidi, Dan, are you familiar with Heidi Gardner?
Oh yeah,
she not only by far the best new cast member, but like one of the best cast members on the show right now. And it's one of those deals where, like, you see what she did on the show. I mean, she really knocked it out of the park. Like, her character work, fantastic. Her imitations, Kristen Schaal, her imitation of Kristen Schaal is unbelievable. She just stood out. I mean, like, really, really, like, who is this girl? And it's Heidi Gardner, and she was her first season, one of the best first seasons, maybe the best first season I've ever seen of, you know, of any new cast member. Anyway, she's got a recurring recurring character that shows up on Weekend Update. On its Angel, every boxer's girlfriend. So it's every boxer's girlfriend, and it's like, you know, this character of like she's the girlfriend of this boxer, and she just shows up on Weekend Update. The first time she did it twice last season. They both were great. The first time she did it, the first time she brought Angel out on the Weekend Update, I was crying with laughter. And I ended up watching that bit after the show. I ended up watching that bit like seven times in a row. And just, she is ridiculously talented and really funny. And the Angel bit that she does on Weekend Update is brilliant. And this is like, you see it, you see this season of this new girl in the cast, and you're like, okay, I'm not so worried when Kate McKinnon leaves. You know what I mean? Like, when Kate McKinnon is gone, okay, fine. That's cool, because she's inevitably going to go. I mean, she's a movie star now. I think I would. My guess is Kate McKinnon's got one more season left in her, and then she'll go. And you know, like when Kristen Wiig was leaving, same thing happened. Kate McKinnon shows up, and you're like, okay, Kristen Wiig is going, but we got this girl, Kate McKinnon, who's in the wings, and she came out and killed it. But this Heidi Gardner is the deal. She's the real deal, and I cannot wait to see what she does in her second season. But anyway, as I was saying, we're talking about Weekend Update bits that we love. This is currently my favorite.
Let's talk about something happy.
Yeah.
The Snoopy balloon. It's returning this Thanksgiving for the parade.
Come on, Snoopy is 60 years old, all right? I can't take it. You can't take it. You know how many men it takes to hold you up? You're done. You're a broken down piece of rubber, all right? If you think for a second that I'm taking my kids to that parade and not to my sister's, then I've got another thing coming, Michael. Okay?
No, I hear you, Angel. Just out of curiosity, where are your kids right now?
At my sister!
Brilliant.
Girlfriend, everybody.
I'm taking my kids to my sister's. Do you hear me, Michael? Do you hear me, Michael? That was when she, you know, because I thought she did solid, really great work. And then when that character came out, and that was right around November, and she had been doing a couple of months. She was on the show for a couple of months already at that point, just for September and October, and she was doing great, great work. But that solidified it. When she did Angel, I was applauding on my couch. I was just like, oh my God, this girl's amazing. Esmeralda, have you seen the full Angel, the boxer's girlfriend?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's so good. She's so good. Yeah, she's great. Chris Redd, by the way, also brand new to SNL, had a great season, too. The other guy, Luke Null, didn't have a good season. I don't know if they've not tapped into him yet or what he's able to do. But Chris Redd's been around for a while. And he's in Popstar. So, I mean, he, you know, he's had connections with SNL in the past. He played a rapper in he played the rapper that opened for Andy Samberg's character in Popstar. Never Stop, Never Stopping. It's a very funny movie if you've not seen it. Have you seen Popstar, Dan?
No, it's been on my because I've like people whose comedy opinions I respect,
dude,
have recommended it.
Oh, no, you but really?
It's supposedly, like a cult, like brilliant classic.
Oh, it is. It made no money at the box office.
Right,
it made nothing at the box office. But it's really, really. I mean, look, if you like the Lonely Island stuff, which I do, the digital shorts that Lonely Island did, it's in that same vein. Did you ever see Hot Rod?
I did see Hot Rod. Yeah,
that's another movie that made no money that was really funny.
Yeah.
And just the fact that Ian McShane played his dad. I mean, that was like the most insane casting of all time. It's like, who can we get to play Andy Samberg's dad? Let's get Ian McShane. Let's get Swearingen. That's a really funny movie that like seven people saw. Esmeralda, have you seen Hot Rod with Andy Samberg?
V was forcing me to watch it one day.
He was forcing you to
watch
it?
Yeah, we were just laying around in bed, and he brings out his laptop and just starts playing it and, like, putting it in front of me. And I was doing something else, and I'm like, I don't know what. Are you trying to make me watch this movie right now?
That is hilarious. You were actually in the middle of doing something.
I was just sitting there, like, looking on my phone.
Yeah,
like, he didn't say, hey, let's watch a movie. No, he just... puts it in front of me like, I don't know what I was like, did you want to watch a movie? I don't know what.
That is hilarious. That's hilarious. You know, that's a funny story. It would be a very, very funny story in general. But the fact that it was Hot Rod makes it even funnier.
Yeah, that it's Hot Rod. I'm like, I'm going to go do something else.
This is one of the biggest comedy bombs that year that came out, and he's trying to get you to watch Hot Rod of all movies. That is a great story. I have to congratulate V the next time I see him. So you didn't really watch it. You were just like...
No, because yeah. I'm just like, what? Did you want to watch this? I don't know what's happening right now. Like, are you watching it or am I supposed to be watching it?
That's great. Oh, that's fantastic. God, that's great. All right, we got a break here. When we come back, we'll wrap up the weekend update bit talk. If you want to jump in, we got some texts coming in, 312-981-7200. And then we're going to talk about restaurant chains that are gone and see if we remember going to them and reminisce a little bit about that. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here, 18 beautiful stories above downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5, and my main man Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive on this Thursday morning. Not doing Triple Play Thursday this morning. because Dan Long is in for Dan Shagru, and Dan will be in for Dan Shagru tomorrow, too. When we do all of our regular Friday features. There you go. So we'll talk about that, too. Hey, by the way, we're going to talk about remembering defunct restaurant chains, some of which might be we're glad might be gone. So that'll be coming up as well. And by the way, for our Friday regular features, you can participate in many of them. We've got You Big Dummy, and that's when we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, usually getting arrested for it. If you want to read a story on the air, find a link to a funny dummy story. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Say, hey, I'd like to read this on the air. We'll figure it out. Record you. Not only will you be on the air reading the bit, but you will also get yourself some Lou Malnati's pizza. So it's a win-win situation. And then for Straight Outta Context, this is when you listen to the radio station 24/7 whenever anybody at any time says something on the air that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle. Jot down the date, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com, and we'll play them all back on Friday morning. And then we have Nick D Show Spies, And that's when you listen 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Jot it all down again. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And also Fly Jams Friday. You can call in with your requests. That'll be coming up all tomorrow on the show. All right, we got some texts here. We've been talking about Weekend Update. Who are the best anchors? What are your favorite bits, favorite characters from the world of Weekend Update and SNL? 765 area code says, my favorite update anchors, Norm Macdonald, Chevy Chase, Dennis Miller, Tina Fey, Seth Meyers. All good choices. Yes. 815 area code said, I had a crush on Father Guido Sarducci as a teenager. Wow. The great Don Novello, man. Great Don Novello as Father Guido Sarducci. The character, the first couple of times I didn't quite get it, like what he was doing. But then, once I kind of got used to what the delivery was, because his style, it's a very subtle bit that he's doing, that Novello's doing there. And it didn't kind of fit in with all the broad stuff that I really liked, like the physical stuff that that Belushi did. But it was really smart and funny stuff. Yeah, I can understand you having a crush on Father Guido Sarducci. 765 area code says, favorite update bits, Roseanne Dana, Belushi's Weatherman, Opera Man, The Girl You Wish You Hadn't Started a Conversation With at a Part. That is a great character. Cecily Strong, great character. And of course, Stefan. I mean, what can you say about Stefan? 847 area code says, come on, Bill Hader is Stefan. Now, you know, Dan, that they originally did a sketch with Stefan.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that one.
I don't know if it ever made it to air. I think it would. No, it did make it to air. And I think it was Ben Affleck. I think Ben Affleck was the host, and Stefan was playing Affleck's brother. And they were pitching a movie or something. They were like pitching a movie idea to an executive. And maybe if it didn't make it to air, I know it made it to Dress because it exists. I've seen it. And so Stefan and Bill Hader and John Mulaney were talking about how originally they wrote that sketch and then it just didn't work, even though they liked the character. And so they thought, well, why don't we just have him be a correspondent on Weekend Update? And that worked every single time. And one of the great things about, the Stefan thing is that Mulaney would throw in jokes on the cue cards that Hader didn't know about
to try to make him break,
and he would break every single time. And that's why, the jokes would be different in dress rehearsal or whatever, and then he would throw in, like, Mulaney would go in and throw in stuff that Hader didn't know was going to be there. That's one of the reasons why Hader breaks all the time, is Stefan, and that's one of the most endearing things about it. So Stefan's one of the greatest characters ever. 217 area, it's Peter Indicator. Says, Weekend Update, was it Norm Macdonald or Kevin Nealon who did the subliminal seduction bits? That's Subliminal Man was Kevin Nealon. That was his bit, Subliminal Man. While he was doing the news, where after reading a headline, he would say something under his breath. For example, in tonight's news, OJ is a killer. No, that wasn't it wasn't Norm Macdonald. Norm Macdonald did the OJ jokes. Kevin Nealon did Subliminal Man. That was a funny bit, too. That was Kevin Nealon, Subliminal Man. And here is Lulu on WGN. Hi, Lulu.
Hey, Nick. You've got my head spinning. The knowledge you have about Saturday Night Live blows me away.
Yeah, but, what? I specialize in knowing things that nobody else wants to know.
No, I'm just in movies and everything. It was exact, almost one day short of the first time I ever texted your show was August 24th, 2017. Mm-hmm. And it was about John Belushi's doing Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, is that right?
Yep. And I put the handle in my text. That's so funny. I'm an old school SNL viewer because I was 22 when the show first came out. Mm-hmm. And I didn't watch the first year because my pinheaded liberal sister said it was a good show and that turned me off.
Right.
And then I tuned in and I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't go anywhere on Saturday night.
Yeah. There had been nothing like it on TV. I mean, it broke every rule possible. When Saturday Night Live came on, there was nothing else like it.
I had Gilda Radner was my idol. I could imitate Roseanne Dana to a T.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wanted to be a comedian after watching her, but and then you know, after the 4 years, I kind of sporadically watched it. Mm-hmm. But almost every character that you've mentioned, I have seen at one time or another. I haven't watched it, you know, except for the last year, because I don't watch TV at all right now. But I can't believe you know all this stuff.
Thinking,
is he sitting there with a script in front of
no,
him?
No, this is all, it's all in my head. It's unfortunate. Lulu, I got to hit the news, but thanks for the call.
Okay.
Okay, hey, that's hilarious that she texted almost a year ago about John Belushi playing Liz Taylor. That's really ridiculous. Okay, let's break here. We got the news coming up, and then we are going to talk about, do you remember these defunct restaurant chains? And reminisce a little bit about that, and we'll have a music IQ contest coming up a little bit later on as well. News is next.